B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof Gimel. We're going to start 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Chof Base Amud Base. Says the Gemara, Om Noitel Odom Kurnus Chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that a person is allowed to take a kurnus, which is a hammer, and he's allowed to use it to crack a nut on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with cracking a nut on Shabbos. The question is there anything wrong with moving a hammer? And we're going to discuss in the Gemara what type of hammer this is, but the Mishnah gives us a long list of different tools that are allowed to be used in order to do something mutter on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda says, Kurnus shel egoizin lefatzeach boyes egoizin, aval shel napochin loy. The Mishnah only allows using a hammer that's initially been designated to be used to crack nuts, but you're not allowed to use a hammer of a blacksmith. And we just have to introduce. In the halachas of Muktzah, we're going to learn that there are different types of kelim. There's one type of vessel, a type of a kli utensil, that's called a keli shemelachto leheta. Its primary use, even during the week, is to do things with it that one is allowed to do on Shabbos. That's called the keli shemelachto leheter. And then you've got those type of kelim, which are called the keli shemelachto leiser, a type of kli which its main use during the week is to do with it an activity which is also to do with it on Shabbos. And we're going to have to learn whether one's allowed to move those kelim on Shabbos, obviously to do things that are mutter to do on Shabbos. And then, besides for understanding what type of kli, and we're going to learn in the Gemara a third type of kli, a type of kli where even if it's used for things that are mutter, but because of its value, because of its weight, or whatever other reason, one designates a place for it, and a person sets in his mind that this utensil is going to stay there and is not to be moved at any expense, and that alone is reason to make something mukta, you're not allowed to move it. Besides for understanding what type of utensil it is, we have to also understand why are you moving it. And there are three different reasons a person should want to move something. Number one, to use it. That's called letzeirich kufoy. One is in order to vacate the place where it is. I need the place where it was. I want to move it out of the way. That's called letzeirich mekoymoy. And then you've got mechama letzeil, to move something from the sun to the shade. I'm moving it in order to protect it, because if I leave it in the sun's going to ruin it. I want to move it to a place where it's going to be protected from the elements. Now the question is, in our Mishnah, we're using all sorts of different utensils, the kurnus, the karadoim, the megira, the magrefa, the rachas, the malgeis, the kush, the karakor, etc. Are these kelim that are melachtei leheter, or are they kelim shemelachtei leiser? So the Gemara chooses to focus on the first one, the karadoim. Karadoim is a hammer. What hammer are we talking about? So Rav Yehuda says, we're talking about a hammer that's originally only used to crack nuts. It's a keli shemelachtei leheter. And the Mishnah is telling us that keli shemelachtei leheter, you're allowed to use legufo, you're allowed to use it to crack nuts on Shabbos. Avol shel napochin, but if it's a keli that's used by a blacksmith, a hammer that's used during the week to do something that's also to do on Shabbos, that's called a keli shemelachtei leiser. And Rav Yehuda says, a keli shemelachtei leiser, you're not allowed to move it, even letzeirech gufoy, and therefore you would not be allowed to crack a nut with a hammer of the blacksmith. Kurnus shel egoizim lefatzea boyez egoizin, avol shel napochin loy. Kosovar, he holds dover shemelachtei leiser, kli shemelachtei leiser, afilu letzeirech gufoy. Also, you're not even allowed to use it to do something muta. Omali Rabba is arguing with Rav Yehuda and saying, Elo me'ato sefer diktoni, eso rachas vesa malgeiz, lo seis alov lekotten, rachas umalgeiz mi miachte le lekotten. Let's move towards the end of the Mishnah. It says there that you're allowed to use a shovel, one that was used for winnowing during the week, which is also on Shabbos, and a pitchfork, which these are things that aren't also to use on Shabbos, for their original use. You're allowed to use them to put food on them and pass them to a child. Over there, it's definitely a keli shemelachtei leiser. it's not a kedish a melachta leheter. With a kurdom, with a hammer, you can say it's a hammer that's a melachta leheter because it's a hammer used to crack nuts. But you can't say that on a pitchfork or on a shovel. So Elomar Rabba Rabba argues with Rav Yehuda, and he's going to learn that keli shemelachti le'iser, even such a kli, is allowed to be used on Shabbos, le'tzeirach kufay, to be used for something mutar. Kurnos shel napochin le'vatzea boyez ha'goizim, that even the Mishnah is even allowing you to use the hammer of a blacksmith to crack nuts on Shabbos. Kosovar he holds, dover shemelachti le'iser, le'tzeirach kufay, mutar. One's allowed to use a kli shemelachti le'iser, le'tzeirach kufay. Says the Gemara, Esve Abaye le Rabba. Abaye is now going to ask a question on Rabba. At this point, Abaye is learning and holding that Keli Shemelachte le'Isser is also to be used even Letzerach Gufoy. We're going to see it on Omid Beis. Abaye changed his mind. But at this point, this is what Abaye holds. We learnt in a Mishnah, in a Braisa. Abaye is asking on Rabba from a Braisa. Meducha, referring to a grinding bowl, a bowl they used to grind with, to grind on Shabbos is asa. Im yesh ba shum, if there's still some garlic left in the grinding bowl, metaltilin oisa, you're allowed to move, since you're allowed to move garlic on Shabbos, it's food, you're allowed to use the bowl with it, move the bowl with it. V'im lav, if there's no garlic left in this bowl, you're not allowed to move the bowl, even to use it, to turn it upside down, to sit on it, even to use it legufay for something mutar. V'im lav in metaltelin oisa, if there's no garlic in it, you're not allowed to move it. So Abaye is saying to Rabba, you Rabba say that keli shemelachti le'iser is allowed to be used l'tzerach kufay. How are you explaining the meducha? Omale Rabba saying, homani Rab Nechemyahi. This braisa is following the unique opinion of Rab Nechemyah, and we don't paskin like Rab Nechemyah. The braisa was following Rab Nechemyah. To Omar, Rab Nechemyah holds, ein kli nitel elo l'tzerach tashmishay. Rab Nechemyah holds that you're only ever allowed to move any utensil on Shabbos if it's being moved for the unique purpose and its prime use that it was originally dedicated for. Even a keli of heta, you're not allowed to move it to do something other than what it's been made for. So here too, this meducha, his grinding bowl, is only allowed to be used to grind in. And since you're not allowed to grind on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move it. But Rabba says, I, Rabba, don't hold of Rav Nechemyah. And therefore, don't ask a question from me from such a braisa. Esve, now we're asking another question on Rabba. Beis Shammai Oimrim, Beis Shammai hold that Ein noitlin eso ali. Ali is a pestle. It's a tool used to grind with. You're not allowed to move such a pestle lekatzev olav basar, to chop meat on it. Beshilal matir and Beshilal say you're allowed to use to move such a ali, such a pestle, in order to chop meat on it. V'shovin, both Beis Shammai and Beshilal hold she'im kotzev olav basar, once you've finished chopping the meat on it, she'also letaltelo, you're not allowed to move it anymore, even for something which is legufa, even if you want to use it for something mutter. So from here you see clearly that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel learn you're not allowed to move this pestle on Yontav. It's muktzah, and according to you, Rabba, even though it's a muktzah machmas, it's a keli shemelachti le'isa, it should be mutter to move it machmas gufay. So here again, the Gemara says, Sovar l'shnuyele, Rabba again wanted to say that this price is Rab Nechemyah, is following Rab Nechemyah, that you're only allowed to move it for something which it's been designated for to start with, and therefore, this price does not affect us because we do not follow the opinion of Rab Nechemyah. Kiven de shoma lahod omar of chinino bar shalam yom shmeid rav, when Rabba heard in the name of Rav, Hakil Moidim, not only Rab Nechemyah, but even the Chachomim who argued Rab Nechemyah normally, they hold that Basichi, Ziri, Umazuri, which are three different types of tools that are used by painters, those that are dying, wherever they're dying, the Tzav'onim Rashi says, that the Kivan de Kopidolayu, since people are very particular not to move them, not to use them for anything besides the use, their primary and main use, Miyachid lu'umokim, since people are makbid, they designate a specific place to them, no one should move them. And since a person designated before Shabbos that they should, that these tools should stay in those places and not be moved, they are considered muktzah, and muktzah means out of mind, they've been set aside, and therefore you're not allowed to move them on Shabbos. Hachanami, so too, not only in the case that we're just discussing now, which is the case of the ali, this grinding tool, this pestle, but also in the first case of the meducha, the grinding bowl. Now Rabbah says that both of those are type of tools that a person typically would set aside, and therefore in both those cases the reason that they are muktzah on Shabbos is because they are miyachid luhu mokim, hochanami miyachid luhu mokim, and it's not a contradiction to what I, Rabbi, said, that a keli shemelachti le'issa, a type of keli which was not miyachid luhu mokim, that it's mutter to move it, letzairach kufay. Continues the Gemara, Itmar, Rabchia bar Abor Omar Rabbi Yechanon, who said in the name of Rabbi Yechanon, kurnus shel zahovim shoninu. When the Mishnah says that you can use a hammer to crack nuts, we had a discussion, Rabbah and Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says it's talking about a hammer that's dedicated, designated to be used to crack nuts. Rabbah said even the type of hammer which is normally used for by blacksmiths. Here the Gemara Rabbi Yechanan is saying we're talking about a hammer of a goldsmith. Rav Shemen bar Abba Omar, kurnus shel besomim shoninu. The Mishnah is even talking about a hammer that was typically used by the spice makers, that even them, those hammers, one is allowed to use to crack nuts. And in both these hammers that we're talking about here, a person typically is makbid on them. The goldsmith's hammer, he doesn't want it to get dented in any way, even though it's not so difficult to flatten it out again. You just bang it on the surface, it gets flattened. But anyway, a person tries not to dent them, therefore on a certain level they are set aside. And the kurnus of the besomim is even more set aside, because typically once this hammer gets used for other things besides for spices, it will often become unworthy, will not be able to be used anymore to bang spices with it, to crush the spices with it, and therefore a person is even more particular that it should not get used than the hammer of the goldsmith. And nonetheless, according to Reb Shimon bar Abba, you're even allowed to use a hammer, the kurnus shel besomim, in order to crack a nut on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, man de omar de besomim, the opinion that says that you're allowed to even use the hammer of the spice makers, kolshkein de zahovim, then even more so he's allowed to use the hammer of the goldsmiths, because people are less particular about the hammer of the goldsmith than the hammer of the spice makers. Man de omar shel zahovim, however, the opinion, as we saw from Rabbi Yechanon, who says that you're allowed to use the hammer of the goldsmiths, aval de besomim kopi de layu, it's comfortable to assume that Rabbi Yochanan would say that the hammer of the spice makers, their person is very, very particular to set it aside and only use it for spices, and therefore one would not be allowed to use such a type of hammer to crack nuts on Shabbos. It's a keli shemelachtoi, not only is a keli shemelachtoi le'issa, it's a keli that he puts aside, is miyached lehumokim, and therefore it's muktzah on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, es hakush ves hakarkar litchiv boy. One is allowed to use a kush, a spindle, which is a type of tool that thread was spun round, and the karkar, which is a weaver's reed. One's allowed to use them litchiv boy to spear with it some soft fruits, typically strawberries, what we would call a toothpick, or we often use a toothpick for that, to use a little splinter. You're allowed to poke a soft vegetable and pick it out of the tray, out of the bowl, and eat it. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Pago an unripe fig, Shetomno Beteven, that he buried in straw. He was hoping that it would get ripened that way. V'charora and the cookie, Shetomno Begecholim, that he buried within some coals. And now on Shabbos, he wants to remove this fig or this cookie from within the straw, or from within the coals. Straw and coals are both muktzah on Shabbos. So the halach is, says the Braisa, im megula miktzasa, if the pago, if the unripe fig, or that fig, or the cookie was somewhat exposed, was protruding above the straw or above the coals, mutar taltara, you're allowed to move them, you're allowed to take it. Just take what you want, take the charora, take the pago, and the fact that the straw is going to fall onto the side, or the coals are going to fall on its side, that happens on its own, and it's okay. Imlav, if it's not protruding at all, if it's not exposed at all, also l'taltalo, you're not allowed to move it. Rabbi Loza ben Tadoi argues and says, Toichavin bekush oy bekarkor, you're allowed to poke, to spear this fig, or this cookie with either a spindle or a weaver's reed, v'hein menura ismelein, and then you can poke it in, lift up this fig, and everything else is just going to fall aside on its own. The Tanakama, who argues with the Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi, says, how are you going to get to the fig if it's totally submerged, if it's not exposed? You'd have to move the straw or move the coals. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi says, I've got a good idea for you. Poke something in, and then you can pull them out. Omar Rav Nachman Alocha Rav Elazar ben Tadoi. Rav Nachman rules like Rav Elazar ben Tadoi that you can poke in this kush or karkar into the fig or into the cookie and lift up the fig or cookie and let the straw or the coals fall aside. The memra de sover of Nachman, the Gemara says, can we deduce from here that Rav Nachman holds tiltul minatzad loishmei tiltul, that it's only called that you moved something if you move it directly, but if you don't move it directly, you just pull something out and the muktzah moves on its own as if from the side, that it's not called moving? V'ha'omer of Nachman, this seems to contradict another halacha of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, hai pugla, a radish, milamalo lemato, if the wide part of the radish is on top, is in the ground, it's submerged, but the wide part is higher up, and the lower part is lowered, and the narrow part is lower down. Shori, then one's allowed to pull up this radish on Shabbos, because you will not be making a hole, and you will not be moving any earth aside, because the wide part has the radish in at the top, and then you're just pulling up, the narrow part will just follow. Mimato lemalo osur, if however the wide part of the radish is submerged in the ground and just the narrow part is protruding and exposed on top, you're not allowed to lift up the radish from the narrow part, allowing the earth that's covering over the wider part of the radish to just fall away. Why not? Why is it different to what we saw before about that Rav Nachman rules like Rav Elazar ben Tadoi, who says that you're allowed to poke in a spindle or weaver's reed into the cookie or into the fig, lift it up and allow the straw or the coals to fall aside? Why is that different to here? How can Rav Nachman there say the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Tadoi and here say that you're not allowed to lift up a radish if the wide part is submerged in the ground? Says the Gemara, Hodir be Rav Nachman Me'ahi. The truth is, Rav Nachman changed his mind from this last halacha, and this limitation, this that Rav Nachman said, you're not allowed to lift up the radish if the wider part is lower down, he changed his mind, and he stuck with what he's ruled before, like Rav Elazar ben Tadoi, that tiltul min atzad is not called tiltul. Continues the Gemara. Machat shel yad, a hand needle, Little ba v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah, even though a needle is used to sew, you're not allowed to sew on Shabbos, but you're allowed to take this hand needle, little boyas hakoitz, in order to remove a splinter from a person's flesh. Says the Gemara, Sholach le Rava berei de Rabba, Rav Yosef. Rava, the son of Rabba, asked the following to Rav Yosef. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, our Rebbe, teach us, machat shenitil charora oy uktza. If you had a needle, and we know that every typical needle has a point at one end and an eye where the thread is threaded through, a hole where the thread is threaded to at the other side of the needle. If you have a needle that either the eye or the point has been removed, mahu, what's the halacha? Is it mukta? Is it not mukta? Omale, Rav Yosef answered back to Rava, tinisua. Look at our Mishnah we just learned. Machat shel yad, if you have a hand needle, little boys are kites. You're allowed to use it on Shabbos in order to remove a splinter. So you see that the very fact that you can use a splinter is called a normal, it's called a use for a needle, even though eye may have been removed. Does it bother the splinter that you're taking out that there's no eye at the top of the needle? You see clearly that if the eye is missing from a needle, nonetheless, one is allowed to move such a needle on Shabbos. And the Gemara doesn't tell us what happens if the point is missing. If the point has been removed from the needle, there we do not have a proof that it's still called a kli or not, and it's discussed in the poskim. Says the Gemara Eisvei, we're going to ask a question on Rav Yosef from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Machat. It's not a Braisa, it's a Mishnah. From a Mishnah, Machat shenitil charora oy uktza tahira. We know that Kalim, besides for Kalim having halachas of Shabbos, are they mukta, are they not mukta, what type of Kalim are you allowed to or not allowed to move on Shabbos, there's another area of halacha that are to do with Kalim, and that is Tumah. A Kli is susceptible to become Tomei. Something that's not a Kli cannot become Tomei. So the Mishnah says in Kalim that a needle is called a Kli, it's used to sew. If the head or the eye of a needle has been removed, then it's Tahira, it loses its status of a Kli. So how could you, Rav Yosef, answer to Rava and say that even a needle that does not have an eye is still considered a Kli, is considered a utensil, and you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, L'tzerich Gufoy, if you need it to pull out a splinter? The Mishnah says explicitly that it loses its title of a Kli. Omar Abaya. Abaya answered, Tumah a Shabbos Koramisa, you're asking contradiction between the halachas of Muktzah and the halachas of what's called a utensil that's susceptible to becoming Tumah. Tumah, regarding the halachas of Tumah, Kli Maisa Ba'inon, I need a fashioned utensil, a fashioned vessel, I need something that's whole. Over here, that a typical needle has an eye, you cannot sew if there's no eye in the needle, the eye's been removed, all the points been removed, it's no longer called a Kli Maisa Le'inyon Shabbos. However, regarding Shabbos, who cares about Kli Maisa? As long as I can use it for, as long as it's fit to be used, it's called a Kli. Le'inyon Shabbos Midi Dechozi Ba'inon. I need something that's fit to be used. V'honam Yechozi Le'mishkela Ba'chotz. Since this needle can be used to remove a splinter, even though it does not have its eye anymore, therefore on Shabbos you're allowed to use it. Omar Rava. Rava actually argued with Abaya and said, Manda komoisiv, shapir komoisiv. No, the one who asked a question from that Mishnah onto what Rav Yosef said, saying, how can you, Rav Yosef, say that a needle that does not have an eye is called a Kli? Proof is from our Mishnah, you can use it to remove a splinter. And you asked a question, it contradicts the Mishnah in Kalim that says that a needle without an eye or without a point is no longer called a Kli. That's a very good question. And Rava does not agree with what Abaya said, that you cannot compare Shabbos to Tumah. Mida le'inyon Tumah lav monohu le'inyon Shabbos nami lav monohu. And Rava says that if it's not called a Kli in Hilchas Kalim, it's also not called a Kli for Hilchas Shabbos, and you would not be allowed to use it even to remove a koitz. Meisvei, we're going to ask a question on this. Machat bein nekuva bein she'ena nekuva muter l'taltalav Shabbos. As Rav Yosef said before, we now see explicitly in this brisa that irrespective of whether there is an eye in the needle or there's no eye in the needle, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Mutar l'taltalav Shabbos. If you need to use it, you can use it on Shabbos. V'lo omru nekuva, the only time, the only place we find that having an eye is a determining factor of whether the needle is called a Kli, is elo le'inyon tumah bilvad, is only regarding its susceptibility to become tomei. So you see explicitly in the Braisa, like what Abaya answered, that there's a difference between mukta and kalim, not like Rava suggested. Tirgama Abaya libid Rava. Now Abaya says, I'll tell you what Rava's going to answer to this question. Abaya himself, he had no issue with it. Abaya said that you cannot compare Shabbos to Tumah, like we saw in this Braisa. It was Rava that asked on Abaya. Abaya said, I'll tell you what Rava can answer. Tirgama Abaya libid Rava, begulmi oskinon. We're talking about an unfinished needle. an unfinished needle, then in Hilchus Shabbos, it's not mukta. In Hilchus Kelim, it's not yet a finished kli. Since it's not a finished kli, in Hilchus Kelim, we have a halacha, it has to be a gemar kli. And therefore, it's not susceptible to become tome yet. However, it is called a kli for even though it does not yet have an eye in it, for Hilchus Mukta, it's called a kli. Because it could be that you're going to choose never to put an eye in it, and you're going to choose to dedicate it for a type of needle that's going to be used primarily for removing splinters from people's fingers or people's flesh. So in Hilchus Shabbos, it's considered a kli. In Hilchus Kelim, it may be that it's going to be remain a kli if you choose not to put an eye in it. And you could choose that, but since you have not yet decided, it's not going to be mekabel tuma. Zimnim demim lechaleu. Since sometimes you're going to choose that to keep this needle without an eye in it, therefore in Hilchus Shabbos it's called a kli, you're allowed to move it, and just in Hilchus Tumah it will only become tome after you've decided that this is the gemara kli, it's a finished utensil. Aval, but in a case where you had a needle which did have an eye in it, and after you made an eye in it, now it's clear that what determines the status of this needle is its point with its eye. Then hecha de nitel charora oy ukta. Once you have a needle that is already been decided that it is a needle for sewing with, then if either the eye or the point has been removed, then odom zorko lebein grotois, a person typically discards it to the metal scraps, and therefore not only in Hilchus Tumo is it not going to be Tomei, is it lose its kli, but also for Hilchus Shabbos it can no longer be used, and you're not allowed to use it even to remove a thorn, a splinter from a person's flesh. Continues the Gemara. Asuve Yenuka. A child that was born, and it seems that some of his limbs had been a little bit moved out of place, dislodged, and this person wants to straighten out the limbs of this infant. Rav Nachman Osir. Rav Nachman says it's Osir, because it's compared to fixing, to mesakin. You're fixing the person. You're not allowed to fix anything on Shabbos. Rav Sheshes Shori, Rav Sheshes says it's muta. It's not considered that you're fixing the infant. Omer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, minoa minelo. What's the source that I say that it's considered fixing and it's osa? Ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Ein oisin apiktoizin b'Shabbos. A person is not allowed to do something to cause himself to vomit on Shabbos. Why? Because the reason that a person causes himself to vomit, this is not refuah, this is not medical reasons, he's doing it just in order that he should fix himself up to empty out his system in order that he should be able to eat more food. So you see that you're not allowed to fix a person on Shabbos. For if Sheshes says you can't compare the two. Hosom, in the case of doing something to cause a person to vomit, lav urcha hocha. It's not a typical, common, normal thing to do, and therefore doing it is called fixing the person. Hocha, however, in the case of the infant, that you're just straightening up its limbs, urche, it's a very normal and common procedure, and therefore it's not considered you're fixing the child. Omer of Sheshes. If Sheshes says, Minoa Minula, what's my source that you're allowed to straighten out the limbs of an infant? Ditnan. We learnt in the Mishnah, machat shel yad, a hand needle, we learnt about in our Mishnah. Little boy, sakoitz, one is allowed to move it on Shabbos in order to remove a splinter from a person's flesh. So you see clearly that in the same way as you're allowed to remove a splinter is not called fixing the person, so too, straightening up the limbs would not be called fixing. Rav Nachman will answer that and say, Hossam, in the case of the splinter, pocket. Over there, it's merely embedded into the flesh, and therefore removing it is not considered that you're fixing the person. Hocha, but in the case of the limbs of the child, loy pocket, it's not embedded in the person, it's you're working with the limbs itself, you're arranging the limbs, it's as if you are positioning the limbs and attaching them to where they need to go, that's called fixing a person. And therefore, according to Rav Nachman, it's also. Continues the next Mishnah. Kono shel zeisim, a cane that was used to stir the olives in the container that the olives were sitting in. Im yesh kesher b'roishoy, if it's a cane that has a knot, In these, very often on bamboo canes and other canes, we find there's knots inside the cane where the cane is a little bit wider at some point. So if somewhere towards the end of this cane there's a knot, then mekabel tumah, then this cane is susceptible to be mekabel tumah, because what it takes to become mekabel tumah, it has to have a toich, it needs to be a receptacle. So if it's just a plain cane, then it's not a receptacle. However, if towards one end of this cane there's a knot, then we're going to see soon it's considered, since it's wider a little bit and it can contain some of the oil, then it's considered a receptacle, and then this cane will be considered a kli and can become tomei. Ve'imlav ein mekabel tomei, if it does not have a knot towards the end of the cane, it does not become tomei. Bein kach u bein kach nitel b'shabbos. But either way, since it's used to stir the olives, it's not mukta on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with stirring olives on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amai, why do you say that this cane used to stir the olives, if there's a knot at the top of it, you say that it's mekabel tumah? Why? Pshutei klei etzu. We know that in Hilchas Tumah and Hilchas Kelim, there's a difference between a mekabel, a receptacle, and pshutim, which is materials that do not have a receptacle. This cane is pshutei kleit. It seems, we'll soon see otherwise, but the Gemara is assuming it's just, it does not have a receptacle. Upshutei kleit eino mekablin tumah. Pshutei kleit, they do not become tomei. With metal, the halacha is a bit different, but as far as wood is concerned, if it's pshutim, if it does not have a receptacle, it does not become tomei. Mai tama wai, dum yudasak. Wood is mentioned in the pasuk together with sack, and it's got to be similar to sackcloth, and sackcloth is something that is always used as a receptacle. So too, wood will only become tomei if it's a receptacle. Dumi de sack, but inon. In order for it to become tomei, it needs to have a receptacle. Why is this cane mekabel tumah? Tanu mishmei Reb Nechemya, answers the Gemara in the name of Reb Nechemya, b'shar shemahapeich b'zeisim hoivchoy v'royaboy. When he stirs the olives with it, then a little bit of the liquid that comes out of the olives gets collected in this wider part where the knot is. And since it's got some form of a receptacle, and the person wants the oil to be collected there to see whether the olives are already ripe enough to be pressed or not. And therefore, he appreciates the knot being a receptacle. Therefore, since it's a receptacle, it can be kabel tomei, it can become tomei. Says the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi Oimir, Kol hakelim nitlim, any utensils are allowed to be moved on Shabbos, chutz min ha-meser ha-godol, besides for a very large saw, the yosed shel machresha, which is a knife-like part of the plow, called the yosed of the machresha, those are two kelim that you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. And we have to know what this means. What does it mean, all kelim you're allowed to move? Some kelim are kelim shemelachti le'isa. We're going to see that now in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Omar Reb Nachman, Hai uchlo. This vessel that was used to scrub laundry, the kotzri that was used by the launderers, k'yosei chel machresha damyot, has the same alochas as this knife-like part of the plow that is not allowed to be moved on Shabbos. Omar Abaya. Abaya says, Charbo de ushbechi, the knife of the tanners, v'sakino de ashkavto, and the knife used by the butchers, v'chatzino de nagri, and the carpenters, they had a special shaping tool. All these are kiyosech al machresha. Domi have the same alochas as this knife-like part of the plow, which is also to be moved on Shabbos. Tonu Rabbonon. We learned in a braisa. And just to introduce what we're about to learn now, we know that there's 39 melachos on Shabbos. We've learned about them extensively till now. Muktzah, which is a very well-known issa on Shabbos, is actually not one of the lametes melachos. It was actually an issa de rabbonon. There's a machlokes Rambam and Ravid exactly why the Chachomim made an issa of muktzah. Was it in order to differentiate between Shabbos and weekdays? Was it in order to avoid people carrying things that they will then carry from Roshus HaYochid into Roshus HaRabim. There's different explanations in the Roshonim why Mukta was actually became an Issa. But let's try and understand, when was the Issa of Mukta first instated? Who was the first one to say something is called Mukta? One thing we know is, we learned on Daf Lamed that the concept of Mukta already existed in the times of David HaMelech. It says when David HaMelech was Nifta, when he passed away, Shlomo HaMelech asked whether he was allowed to move the body of his father. He was Nifta on Shabbos, and there was an issue there with moving him out of the sun. There should be covered Hameis. We see the concept of Mukta already existed in the times of David HaMelech. However, in Sefer Nehemiah, in Perek Yud Gimel, it says there that Nehemiah noticed at some point that people in his generation were being, and this was in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, which was many years after David HaMelech. It was almost 1,000 years later, where he saw that people were very lax in Hilchas Shabbos, they were being Mechal Shabbos. He wanted to make a gzeira, he wanted to do something to strengthen Shabbos. So then, his times of Nehemiah, they decreed the Mukta. And it was done in various stages. The initial decree was very severe. He said, you're not allowed to move any utensils. It doesn't matter, keli shemelach tele issa, keli shemelach tele heta, nothing you're allowed to move, besides for 3 kelim that were very commonly used on Shabbos. Besides that, all kelim were osa. As time moved on, at four stages, when they realized that people were taking Shabbos more seriously, as people were taking Shabbos more seriously, they lessened the decree of Mukta, until slowly less and less things became Mukta, and until we have the halachas of Mukta that we're left with today. Let's see this in the Braisa. Borishoino, at first, and this is talking about in the times of Nehemiah, when he made that first takona, that first decree against moving Mukta on Shabbos. Hoyoimrim, they said, Shloisho kelim nitlim, only 3 utensils are allowed to be moved on Shabbos. Nitlim b'Shabbos. And they are Miktsoya shel dveila, a knife used to cut a cake of dried figs, Vezuamo listrin shel kadeira, and the ladle used for skimming the foam off the top of a pot, v'sakin ktanosh al gabe shulchan, and a typical table knife used to cut the food they would eat at the table. And then, hetiru, as people took Shabbos more seriously, some of those kelim became mutter, v'chazur v'hetiru, and at a later point again, even more kelim became mutter, v'hetiru, and then v'chazur v'hetiru, and again, they made it even more lenient a third time, and till the end, she'omru kola kelim nitlin. This is seems to be a fourth time, right at the end. Kola kelim nitlin b'Shabbos. You're allowed to move any kelim on Shabbos. Chutz min ha'meser agodol v'yosei shel machresha, which is our Mishnah. Besides, for the big saw and the knife-like part of the plow, those remain mukta even till today. So ask the Gemara. My hetiru, the chazur v'hetiru, the chazur v'hetiru. What are these 3 stages of heta? What became mutter at every stage? And this is going to be machlekes Abaya and Rava. Abaya, Omar Abaya. Hetiru, the first heta was dovo shemelachto leheter. A kli that's normally used, its primary use is to do something that's mutter on Shabbos. Letzeirach gufoy. That they said you're only allowed to use it if you want to use it itself, not if you want to vacate its place in order to be able to put something else there, and even more so not in order to protect it, taking it away from the sun, moving into the shade. No. The first heter was, it's got to be keli shemelachti leheter, and it was only mutter letzeirach gufay. The chozru v'etiru, what was the second heter? The dovo shemelachti leheter letzeirach makoimoy. They said that kli shemelachti leheter, you're allowed to move it, even letzeirach makoimoy, if you just need the place where it was sitting before, and even though you don't need to use the actual kli. V'chozur v'yteiru, what was the third heta? Dovo shemelachti le'issa le'tzeirich gufoy in le'tzeirich mekoy me'iloy. A kli that's melachti le'issa, A kli that its main use is to do something that's also on Shabbos, you're allowed to move it, but only if you actually want to use it to do something mutter with the kli. But if you just want to move it in order to use the place, that's also. Vadayin, at that point, it was still also, b'yodei achas in, b'shtei yodov loy, only a type of kli that you can use with one hand, a kli that you use with two hands, that remained mukta. Atcha omru, till at the end they said, kol ha-kelim nitlim b'shabbos, all the kelim are allowed to be moved on Shabbos, afilu b'shtei yodayim, even if you need two hands to move them. Omar le-rova, that was the opinion of Abaya. According to Abaya, the end of the day, what stays is that a keli shemelachtoi le'isser is mutter to be used le'tzerech kufoi. Keli shemelachtoi le'isser is not allowed to be used le'tzerech mekoimoi. Kli shemelachtoi le'heter is mutter le'tzerech kufoi and le'tzerech mekoimoi. And here Rashi adds that Abaya here changed his mind from what he said before. At the top of Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, Abaya argued with Rabba and said that kli shemelachti le'issa is not allowed to be used l'tzeirach kufoi. Here we see that Abaya changed his mind. Omale Rava, Rava is now questioning Abaya. Mechte heteru katoni, that first stage, that first heter, what did they allow? They allowed if you need to use the kli. So once they allowed you to move it because you need it, mali tzeirach kufoi, mali l'tzeirach mekoimoi. What's the difference if you use it, if you need it l'tzeirach kufoi, or if you need it l'tzeirach mekoimoi? I need to move this item, this vessel, this kli. Elo omar Rava. Rava argues with Abaya and explains as follows. Heteroi, the first stage of heter, was dova shemelachti leheter, a kli shemelachti leheter, bein l'tzeirach kufoi, bein l'tzeirach mekoimoi. It was allowed to be used irrespective of whether it's allowed to be moved, irrespective of whether you're moving it because you want to use it or you're moving it because you want to move it away from the place it is to use that place for something else. That was the first heter. It means what Abaya said was heter number one and heter number two. Rava includes them both in heter number one. The Chozru Vateri, heter stage two, according to Rava, Mechamo Latzel, a Kedish Emelachte Leheter, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, even if you don't need its place and you don't want to use it, you just want to take it away from the sun and put it to the shade to protect it, is also Mutter. The Chozru Vateri, heter number three, Dova Shemelachte Leisser, Lotzerich Kufoy, Lotzerich Mekoimoy in, Mechamo Latzel, Loi. The third stage of the heter, according to Rava, was a keli shemelachtoi le'iser. They allowed to move it, also l'tzeirach kufoi, also l'tzeirach mekoimoi, but not in order to protect the kli itself, the kli shemelachtoi le'iser, by removing it from the sun to the shade. L'tzeirach kufoi mekoimoi in, mechamo l'tzeir loi. V'adayin ba'odom echod in, that those kelim that were mutter to be moved is only if one person is needed to move it, oy in b'shnei b'nei odom, however if it takes two people to move it, loy, in that case, you're not allowed to move them. Ad she'omra, until the last stage where they were matir, wherever they were going to be matir, kol ha'kelim nitlim b'shabbos, all kelim are allowed to be moved, that means even if it's a kli that you need two people for, afilu b'shnei b'nei odom. Even if two people need to carry it, it's muta on Shabbos. Says the Gemara Esve Abaya. Abaya is now going to ask a question on Rava. We saw before meducha, which is this bowl that was used to grind in, which is a kli shemelachti le'isa. And we saw that im yesh bo shum, if there's still some garlic in it, then metaltelin oisa, then you're allowed, since you're allowed to move the garlic, you can move the bowl with the garlic. Ve'im lav, if there's no garlic in it, ein metaltelin oisa, you're not allowed to move it at all. Even though you want to move it, you want this to turn up this bowl upside down to sit on it. It's a klisha melachto le'isa, you want to use it le'tzerich kufoy, le'tzerich mekoymoy. So Abaya says, according to Abaya, it makes sense. Abaya says that the tzeirach gufoy is mutter, the tzeirach mekoimoy is osur, and that's what it means, ein metaltelin oisa. But you, Rava, that say that even the kli shemelachti le'isa is mutter, the tzeirach gufoy, and the tzeirach mekoimoy, so what does it mean, ein metaltelin oisa? Why are you not allowed to move it if you need to move it? Says the Gemara, Hochav Ma'askinan, Mechama Letzel. We'll explain that Brisa is talking about moving it out of the sun into the shade, and indeed that's also, even according to Rava. Isvi, another question on Rava. Veshovin, we saw before that Bishilel and Bishamai both agree she'im kotzav olov, that if you chopped some meat on the on that tool that was used for grinding, on the pestle, that they both agree that after that you're not allowed to move it anymore. Also letaltuloi, why? It's a klisha melachti le'isa. According to you, Rava, why should it be also to move it? Even letzerich kufay, even letzerich mekoymay, it's mutter. Says the Gemara, hochanami mechama lotzel. Here too, when the Braisa says you're not allowed to move it, it means you're not allowed to move it out of the sun into a shady place. But if you need to use it for something mutter, or you need its place, according to Rava, you'll be allowed to move it. Continues the Gemara, Omer Reb Chanina, B'yemei Nechemyo ben Chachalyo Nishnis Mishnezu. The Braisa we saw that Barishoino, that at first all Kalim were also besides for three Kalim, that was said in the time of Nechemyo ben Chachalyo. Tichsiv, it says in the Posuk, it's the last parak in Nechemyo, Bayomim Ohemo, in those days, says Nechemyo, Ra'isi B'Yehuda, I saw in the place of Yehuda, Doirchim Gitois B'Shabbos, they were pressing the wine vats on Shabbos, and they were carrying the heaps. He saw they were very lax on Shabbos. Because of that, Nechemya, in the time of Nechemya, they made this Kazera, all Kalim are also besides those Kalim. And then with the passage of time, as people took Shabbos more seriously, they allowed themselves to become more lenient until we have the Hilchus, the Halochus of Mukta that we have today. And Emir Tzashem, in the next Shir, we're going to continue from here.